Bezer Shem is Boch, we begin Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter in the Rambam, Sechas Chevel Mazik, and the laws of injuries and of damages, which we're in the second half now of Mazik, in the Sefer Nezikin, in the Book of Damages. In this Perek, we discuss regarding damages that are not so clear, and also regarding the payment of the Mazik. As Rambam gives Halacha Alf regarding what's called Hezek Shen and Nikr, if it's not recognizable that there's a damage over here. That is, HaMazik Mom HaBeir, if someone damages another person's monies, a Hezek Shen and Nikr, an unrecognizable damage, but it's still ultimately causing a loss to the person. But though, since the object didn't change, and its form hasn't been diminished, according to biblical law, the person who did this will be exempt from monetary compensation because all the types of damages that I mentioned in the Torah are all recognizable damages. But from rabbinic law, they said, since ultimately it caused a loss of money to that person, that is, a chayv is going to be liable, and he has to compensate what he has caused a loss from their monies. Halacha based kids at house, so. If someone contaminated, ritually impure, someone's pure food items of his friend, so everything looks the same, but there's a spiritual change over here. Or he mixed his chulin with truma, which again, that also is a loss of potential for this, because you have a limited pool of people that could eat that. Or he mixed a drop of wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah into his wine, which makes it forbidden the whole amount. But again, nothing really happened to the wine itself. Was anything similar like this? Shaman Mashahiv says you evaluate what the loss is, and he has to pay the full amount of damages, and the Yafashim and the Chasaf and the best of his properties, like old damages, although biblically he's exempt, but rabbinically he's chayab and hezek shen nik. Halacha Gimel, as we said, but Abazan, this halacha is Knas Hu Shekonsu Chacham. It's a penalty that the rabbi is penalizing, so that we shouldn't have all these types of destroyers that should be that should go and contaminate the purities of his friend. But I mean, he says, Pachman, I'm exempt. So to discourage that, we made this rabbinic penalty. Now, lefikach, therefore, im meizeh, if this person, shehizik hezik shein nikah, that caused an unrecognizable damage, if he dies, in goyven hanezik min chasid, you cannot collect the damages from his properties as you usually could by a mazik. Because shleikonzik hacham, since it's only rabbinic penalty, the rabbis didn't penalize elazesh shal aviv hezik on this person who violated any damage. Aval hayayirish shalei osiklum, but the inheritor who didn't do anything, leikonzik didn't penalize him. And the mazik hezek shen nikah b'shkaga b'ayin. So to bless someone damage by unrecognizable damage by mistake or beyond his control, then pati is exempt. Although by regular mazik is chayim, because here it's a penalty. Because they only penalize the one who intentionally does it to damage with his focus. That is to prevent this from happening. But if it was done b'shkaga b'ayin, it's not going to be chayim. Halacha dalad hakahanim shepiglu es hazevach b'mezid. If there's kahanim that had a machshava that the carbon that they're bringing from someone else should be eaten beyond its time or sacrificed beyond its time, which that actually makes the carbon totally invalid, thus obviously invalidating this expensive carbon, and he does it deliberately, well then chayav l'sham from the same halach, although it's not recognizable, he didn't change anything in the animal, it was only with his thought, but he has to compensate. But if he did it by mistake, he's going to be exempt. And so to b'chein o'isim halach b'paras chatzas b'meichatzas, someone did some type of a work with the paraduma or with the waters of the paraduma, which invalidates it, but it looks the same as it always did. But Mezid, if he did it deliberately, Chayav L'sham has to pay. But Shoyg, if he did it by mistake, Pati is going to be exempt. Halacha Hey, Hechnas Paro LaMarvik. If someone brought in the Paraduma into the place where the oxen are tied by their necks and they're threshing, he brought in the cow, Kadesh Tinik B'Tadush, so that it should nurse and thresh. Or Besich Taitim Mechadus, or he didn't pay attention to focus and guard the Paraduma waters, which invalidates them, Patam Din Yadam is exempt from the court's liability, where, because he, although in the previous halacha we said kahanim that do the pigel, the michayev, even though that was only because of a thought that they had, there that thought was at least connected to an action of the slaughtering or the spraying of the blood, which was done inappropriately. There was like they did it by themselves, but here it was just with thought or lack of thought. So again, then he's going to be exempt, but b'chayev din yishmaim, he's going to be liable for judgment from heaven. Halacha vav, hamanasach yin chaver l'avoy deserve. Someone pours his friend's wine for the purposes of idolatry. Loy nes hayayin, the wine does not become forbidden. Shein odem Yisrael oysa dov v'shen eshle, because a Jewish person does not make his friend's thing forbidden, where, as is explained, that it's not the norm for him to make it forbidden. And therefore, even if we hear that he's saying he's doing it for those purposes, we say he's doing it just to pain the other person, but he's not really doing it to make it forbidden. Now, if he had a partnership in it, or let's say he was a rebellious Jewish, where you're treating him like a Gentile, well, they warned him that don't do this. V'kibul HaSaron accepted the warning, which now, because of this, that he was warned and he doesn't care, now he's going to be treated as a rebellious Jew. Then actually, then he actually does make the wine forbidden, because when someone's a mumer for idolatry, we presume that he is doing it for the nisach hayayin, and the person could make something else forbidden. We just generally don't presume that. And the Rav Chaim L'Sham is going to have to pay back, again, like we said, even though it's a hezek shein nikar. Not v'heich yischayiv zel l'shalom, but the problem is, how could this person be liable to pay? But he's actually liable for the death penalty of being stoned because of avodah zarah that he's doing, and chiv mis bezdin will exempt the person from paying. No, the reason is, because in the moment he already lifted it up, then already he was doing it nischayiv l'shalom. He was already liable to pay because of like stealing, even before he actually poured it out. And he's not liable for the death penalty doing avodah zarah until he actually poured it. So therefore, the gizel was ready beforehand, and therefore he's chayif at tashlumin before the death penalty. Halacha Zayin, the Rambam continues regarding also not such a clear damages. That was called kurama or gami, is some type of indirect cause of damages. If someone causes that his friend's money should become damaged, chayif l'sham nezik sham and yafash am nechasav k'sham ezikin. He has to pay the full amount of damages from the best of his properties, like all other damages. Even though at the end of the day, he's not the one that actually caused the damage. But since he's the first cause, Chayib is going to be liable. Kids are also. Hazir Kli Shaloi, if let's say someone throws his own vessel, Mereish Hagag, from off the roof, on top of pillows and cushions. But then another person comes along, all he does is removes the pillows and the blankets from the ground. And now, so now, instead of them falling on these cushions, that person who threw off his vessels, it falls on the ground and they break. So, chayim nezik shalom, that person who pulled away the pillows are going to be liable for the full amount of damages, because the one who threw it did it with permission, because it was his own item. So the whole liability is only one who removed the pillows, so it's kilu shavara biyadei. That grama, that causation, is as if he actively broke it himself. Because shesilik or karmak tzas is grama l'shashofa, because the pulling of the pillows and the blankets is what caused it to break. Anything like this would make a person liable. Now, if let's say someone threw someone else's vessel, from off the roof, on top of the pillows and blankets of the owner of the vessel. So it wasn't going to break. But now the owner of the vessel himself actually goes and removes his pillows. Now he did it with permission because it's his own pillows and blankets. So therefore, the one who threw it off the roof is going to be liable in all the payments, because the owner of the pillows is allowed to take his own pillows whenever he wants to. Whereas the one who threw it, you weren't allowed to throw off the vessel. So though it weren't broken, but the throwing off the roof is the first cause. It ends up causing the vessel to break, and therefore he's liable. Now, let's say someone else goes and removes the pillows, not the owner. Then shneim chayav, and then both of them are going to be liable because they both did without permission. And they're both partners in this crime of the damage, because Hazarik v'amasalik, the one who threw the vessel and removed the pillows, Shashneim Gormul Abed Mamanishal said, they both caused the loss of this guy's money. You weren't allowed to throw up the vessel, and you weren't allowed to move the pillows and the blankets. Halacha Tes. V'chein tzotu ha'sarif shtoresiv shal chaverim. Someone burns the documents of his friend. Chayiv l'sham kalachayiv shoyi b'shtar. He has to pay back the entire debt that was in the document. Where sha'afa b'shein guf ha'shtar mamon, although the actual body of the document is not worth any money, it's just a piece of paper, hadi gorim l'abed mamon, but he caused the loss of the money. Because that's the only way he could collect it, with the document. Now, as long as the damaging party admits and agrees that it was a valid document, and this what it was written in it, but now that he burnt it, he cannot collect the debt. But if let's say the mazik doesn't believe him, then he only pays back to him the value of what a piece of paper was, because I don't believe you that there was such a document, and he has no proof. And therefore he wouldn't be chayv. Halacha Yud. V'chein Reuven, shayinoisha b'Shimon. So too, let's say Reuven was a creditor to a debt owed to him from Shimon. U'machar shtar l'Levi, and now Reuven, the creditor, goes and sells the document, which is obviously what you could collect with, to Levi. V'chaser achar shabachari. Now, after he went and he sold it to Levi, he goes and m'chal l'Shimon. He pardons the debt that Shimon owes him, which Reuven could be m'chal even after the sale, because the document is not the body of money itself. It's only as a proof that Reuven owes, Reuven lent money to Shimon. So, although he sells the document, he could still pardon the debt. So, how read Nifter Shimon? So, Shimon is off the hook now. Commissioners, boom, come, like we explained in its appropriate place, in Hechaz Mechir, Pek Bab Alochid Beis, and Hechaz Chim Aton, Pek Yud Alochid Beis. Now, but, when Schaib Reuven Lasham Levi, Koma Shabashtar. Now, Reuven has to pay back to Levi, not how much he even sold it for, everything that's written in the document. Why? Shergom lo la'abed ashtar. He caused him to lose the document. It's like he burnt it because the piece of paper is not worth anything now because he already pardoned the debt. So he caused that loss. So to, let's say the inheritors of Reuben pardoned the debt. Whoever it is that did the pardoning, he has to pay the best of his property because he was a goyrim for the mhezig of the one who bought the document. Someone makes his slave into an apoytiki, which stands for apoytihekoi, which he tells his creditor, he says, look, I owe you money, this is where you're going to collect from. And he made that on this slave. But then, although he owns the slave and he can make that as a place of collection, he goes and he frees him, which now the slave is free. Obviously, he cannot collect him and use him anymore. So the one who freed him is liable to pay up to the creditor because he removed his lien that he had. Now he caused a loss of money. The only way he was able to collect it from that slave, now that slave is not a slave anymore. Now, however, additionally, we force the creditor that he also has to free the slave, meaning even though it was never his slave, because the slave was never acquired, it was just that he had a lien on it, and then the lien was removed. Still, we force him to free the slave. Conditionally, Yifkaboy B'yemelech said that he should never encounter him in the future and say to him, Avdiyata, you're my slave. Which is going to spread rumors about his sons. He was never a slave, but he's going to feel like, oh, I was supposed to collect from you. So, therefore, besides that, he has to be compensated for the one who freed the slave. He has to free the slave too. And v'chein adoichav matbeh chaveh, so if someone pushes his friend's coin, and v'nisgalga, and then the rolls, v'yord liyam, and it falls into the sea. Chayv l'shalom, that grummer, the one who caused the damage, has to pay. If someone, let's say, causes an injury to his friend's cow's ear, Chayav L'sham, he has to pay. Should have gone Lifchis Demet, where he caused a loss of its value, where now it's not fit to be as a carbon on Mizbech anymore. So if someone went and thinned out his friend's coins by banging on the hammer, so he didn't diminish any of it, but he flattened it out. Now it removed the form of the face of the coin, so therefore it loses its value. Chayav l'sham shem gurim, again, he has to compensate him because of the cause now that he can't use as a coin. So in all these types of things, a person is going to be liable for that indirect cause of damage. If someone threw off a vessel from the top of the roof to the ground, and there was no vessels beneath it. In other words, there were no pillows to soften the fall. Now, someone else went first, and he smashed it. This vessel that was falling in the ear with a stick, when the ear is pushed before it hit the ground, this second person is going to be exempt. Because he only broke a vessel, it was most definitely going to break on impact. So it comes like as if he broke a already broken vessel. It's not like causing it to break, which, as we say, when he removes the blankets in Aluch HaZayin Chesed B'chayv, where, if not for the fact that he removed the blankets, it wouldn't have broken. Whereas over here, even if he wouldn't have broken with a stick, it would have definitely broken anyway. So even if he's the one that actually breaks it, he's going to be exempt. So too, all some types of cases are going to be exempt. Aluch HaGimel continues regarding also indirect cause of damage, which is regarding the obligation to pay by holding someone else back from performing a mitzvah. So Shoshai Emelai Rigiv, let's say there was an ox that was waiting to be executed. Nishu mazik as risk because it was harming the people. Or ve'il no emelik tzitzis, it was a tree that was waiting to be cut down. Nishu mazik as ram is harming the public that was walking in the street. Now, v'kodem echad b'shachash, it says someone else jumps up first and he slaughters this ox. Or v'kotz il nizeh and he chops down this tree. Shlemit asabalim, without the awareness of the owner, chayv l'sham l'ba'olim, he has to compensate the owners, k'mashir adiyam, like the way the judges see fit. Because sharifkin malasis mitzvah, yes, it was going to be chopped down, it was going to be killed, that animal. But there's a mitzvah of doing that, and he prevented the owner who owns it from performing that mitzvah. That loss of the mitzvah is something he has to compensate the owner. Now, if you're let's say that person claims and he says, what am I? You told me to kill your ox and to chop down the tree. Now, so since it was waiting to be done like that, as the court mandated, so therefore we believe him, and therefore Hariz Apat is going to be exempt. So let's say someone slaughters a wild animal or a bird, a regular person slaughtering. Now there's a mitzvah of kisa adam, covering the blood when you slaughter a wild animal or a bird. Now someone else comes along and he covers the blood without the awareness of the one who slaughtered the animal. He has to give and compensate the one who it was his animal, like the way the judges see fit, because he made him lose his mitzvah of kisa adam. Now there are those who rule, which is brought in the Rif, that he has to give a penalty, because it's not actually causing an actual loss of money, so it's considered a penalty, that's set, and doesn't depend on the evaluation of the judge, as we were saying up until now. V'hu asar zuhuvim, that's a set price of 10 gulden. V'chein haru, so do they ruled. Shekol ha-menei ha-bolem ha-asayis mitzvah saseh. Whoever holds back the owner from performing his positive commandment, shemrum la'asayisa, where it was appropriate for the owner to have done that mitzvah, but kol ha-me'achar v'asar, and someone else jumps in and does that person's mitzvah, that always mesham la'bolem ha-asar zuhuvim, always has to pay 10 golden coins to that owner. Lachat ezvav, continues with regarding how to evaluate the damages. So shaman la'mazik b'yadah, we evaluate for someone who does active damages himself. Just like we evaluate if his money's caused damage. Someone kills his friend's animal or he breaks his vessels. So we evaluate how much was the animal originally worth. How much was the dead animal worth? How much was the vessel worth originally? And when it was complete. How much is it worth now? And he pays the differential, the loss, the depreciation to the victim, but together with, he gives the dead carcass and the broken vessel to that person, he gives the difference. We explain when his ox causes the damages. Where he has the same halacha when his money damages and he damages. Now, if someone presses the grapes of his friend and he causes it to become wine, so we evaluate whatever the damage was, again, in a situation where the price of grapes are more expensive than that of wine. And the chen kogets, if there's anything similar like that, again, we evaluate the damages as we would if his ox caused a damage. Now, look at the design continues regarding the way, the format of the payment. When you collect the depreciation from the perpetrator, so originally you collect from his movable items. This is old how we said in Hilchas Niski Mamon, when his money caused damage. If it doesn't have movable items, then give him in a yafish of the chazan, then you collect from the best of his properties. And the same halacha applies to oinus if someone rapes a woman, v'mefato seduces her, v'mitzah shemer, or if he spreads rumors regarding his wife and he says, I didn't find any besulim, any virginity, we has to pay for this false claim 100 silver coins to the father. Kulum gave him in the yafish of the chazan, all of them you collect from the best properties that he has as a mazik. Halacha itzan continues regarding what happens, someone damages, but he doesn't know how much he damaged. So, call a mazik mama chaver. If someone damages his friend's monies, but any damn mazik doesn't know what exactly did he damage. So, hareha nizik nishba betakan zacham. So, although generally the defendant he gets to swear to get off the hook, in these cases the victim who he's the plaintiff, he swears betakan zacham with the rabbinic institution, and benikel kamosh yitin hanigzel, and he takes just like when someone who's a victim of robbery that he makes a claim. And he swears to collect something over here by the victim of damages. Now, but as long as Shiyitin Dvarm, as long as he's making a claim, Shu Amid Behem, which we evaluate makes sense that he would have that amount of money. Commission for Anna is likely explained by the laws of someone who was robbed. In Hilchas Gezeila, Perek Dal Halacha Gimel. Halacha Yitchaz, Ketzet, how so? Lokach Kis Chaveir Vashlichel Yemel Eish. Let's someone took someone else's purse and he threw it into the sea or into a fire. Or he gave it over to a strong-armed person and now it's lost because he can't get it back from that thug. Now, Balak Kisarim, the owner of the purse says, Zuhuv Mayimel, it was full with golden coins. Famazakrim, the damager says, any dam, I don't know what was inside of it. Shema Afarei Tevin Mayimel, it was full with earth or with straw. So, Hareha Nizik Nishba ben Nikitas Chavit, so the victim swears by holding a holy object, but Naitlan he takes. Now, Bahu Shayitin Devam Shu Omid Bam, it's only if you're making a claim that we could evaluate would make sense that this person has that amount of wealth, or at least we evaluate that people would deposit such types of things, but Darkam Nicham Akis, and it's also normal to put those things in a purse, a kids and things like that. But if let's say it wouldn't be normal to put that, what he's claiming, in this type of vessel, then who Pasha Vasma? Then he caused the negligence on himself, the victim, and he won't get compensated. Kids and household. Hadishachat of Chemis, Oisal. Malayim or mechubim. Someone grabs away someone else's flask or basket that's full and it's covered. You don't see what's inside. But again, it's just a basket or a flask. Veshlichim lo yemos rof, and he throws it into the sea or it gets burned. Now, betonah nizik. Now, the victim claims shemagoli is when they were full with pearls with gems. In an emet, it's not believed. Veimash bin nois al kach. You don't let me swear to that effect. Shein derech bnei adam lanich magolis b'sal mechamos. Because people don't usually put pearls inside baskets and flasks. Now, vim tavis. But let's say the victim grabs anyways to get compensated from the mazik. We don't take it away from him, because again, we're not sure about this halacha, we don't know definitively. Rather, he swears that, yeah, there were pearls inside of it. And he takes from what he has, what he grabbed from the mazik. Something like this, that has the same halacha. Look, you test. You're the hamazik. Let's say the damager knows, that, yeah, the purse did have golden coins. But he doesn't know how many there were there. Vayman is again the victim says, Elifai, there was 1,000 of them. So nitl elav b'lei shvur. So he takes the 1,000 coins without an oath, as some have the girsa shari zeh hamazik mechuy b'shvur, because the mazik is liable for an oath, as like a moed b'miktzis, because I agree there's coins, I just don't know how many. Now, the thing is, v'en yochli shaveya, but he cannot swear, because he doesn't know how many it is, so he can't swear that it wasn't that amount. Commissioner Zbar b'inya b'kon, like we explained regarding the laws of deposit in Hilchos Shelah b'kon and Perek Ha'alach above, and therefore, since he can't swear, so then the... because of that, the he's going to take the 1,000 without an oath because he can't swear, so therefore it's his loss. The mazik, and therefore he has to pay that full amount that the nizik is claiming that was in there.